Today, being that today is Lag BaOmer, or depending on how you count the spheres, some people might want to say Lag LaOmer, but commonly said Lag BaOmer. So I'd like to spend some time discussing the significance of Lag BaOmer, what it's all about, and a little bit. Those who daven here this morning may have heard from Rabbi Lubian. I'd like to just expound upon the significance of Lag BaOmer and also issues in halacha which came up in pertaining to the celebration of Lag BaOmer. So we know first and foremost that when it comes to today, there is a difference of opinion between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. There's a basic difference. Ashkenazim hold Lag BaOmer to be a special day. We didn't say Tachanun and the Tfila, but by Sephardim this is not the case. The mourning that is observed during the period of the Sphiris HaOmer is by Ashkenazim ceases, or at least takes pause on this day, on Lag BaOmer, whereas by Sephardim it doesn't. Sephardim hold the Adelus until the 34th day of the Sphiris HaOmer. Lag BaOmer is nothing special. And I would like to get into a discussion. First, I'd like to begin the discussion of why that is. So we have here on the sheet, it's actually on the second page, the third source, that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos, in the Gemara, we know that all halacha that we have, anything that's going to be considered formal halacha, comes from the Gemara. The Mishnah, the Gemara, the Torah Shabbat Peh, the source of the halacha that we have. Practices that are not mentioned in the Gemara, that have no foundation in the Shas, or in the related literature, that doesn't have to be doctored in the Gemara. We spoke last week about a topic which is found in the Medrash Taras Kahanim. But it has to be in the literature from the Tanaim and Amoraim. If it's not, then it has the status of a minhag. In other words, anything that developed in the past, in the post-Talmudic period, even if it's been accepted by everybody, but it doesn't have quite the same status. That's considered minhag. There are different minhagim. There are minhagim that are accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, by most of Klal Yisrael. For example, that a male should wear what we call a yarmulke, a kippah, is not mentioned in the Gemara explicitly. This is a minhag which developed over the generations, but because it is accepted by virtually all Jews, certainly by all Ashkenazic Jews at all times, and even by most Sephardic Jews at all times, so therefore it takes on the status of a halacha. But because we have a principle that minhag Yisrael is Torah, that a minhag Yisrael that's accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, or by most of Klal Yisrael, has the status of halacha. But nevertheless, when we talk about formal halacha, we look for things that are mentioned in the Shas. So we have, as far as the mourning that is observed during the period of Sphiris HaOmer, so there is only one reference in the Gemara, and that is found in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis, a little bit small little print. We have here number 3, the Gemara says, Amru Shneim Asar Elef Zugim Talmidim Vayuvalu Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, Migeves Ad Antifras, all the far-reaching points of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara tells us, well known, the Kula Nesu, the Perek Echad. And all of the students of Rabbi Akiva perished, they all died in the Perek Echad, in one period of time. The Gemara doesn't tell us at this point what that period of time was, it just says at one period of time. And the reason is given, if Neshalom Nagu Kavo Zelazet, because of the fact that they did not treat each other with mutual respect, they held each other in a certain measure of contempt, that they could not tolerate the way the Mepharshim explained it, different explanations, but apparently they could not tolerate the success of their peers. In other words, each one was happy about his own success, but had difficulty with the success of the next one, and therefore there was a certain level of lack of kavod. The Gemara here does not say that they treated each other disrespectfully, but rather they didn't treat each other with the proper respect, and because of this there was a tragedy that they all passed away. So continues the Gemara, Ad Shebar Rabbi Akiva Eitzel Rabbosenu Shebidorom, And as a result of this, it was a disaster, because aside from the fact that 24,000 people passed away, which is in itself an enormous tragedy, but it also resulted in the fact that there's not, who's going to teach Torah to the Jewish people? All the teachers of Torah, all the potential leaders of the religious leadership, all perished. So what's going to be? Says the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva then approached Rabbi Seinu Shevedaron. Rabbi Akiva, in his old age, went ahead and went after five men who were in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Bishana Lahem, and he taught them the Torah. He taught them, in other words, he didn't give up. The Gemara earlier brings this as a proof that a person should never, so to speak, in spiritual matters, a person should never retire. In other words, a person can retire from his job, a person can retire from the mundane pursuits of the world, but when it comes to spirituality, it's a constant effort the person has to make their whole life, and therefore Rabbi Akiva did not, perhaps a different person would have been crushed, would have been bitter, would have been, you know, devastated by what happened, and that would have just been the end. But Rabbi Akiva rallied himself, and he at least went, he took five people and said, okay, you people are going to be the teachers of Torah. And the Gemara says, who were these men? Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon, Reb Elazar ben Shemua. Five people, a number of whom became very famous in the Gemara, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon. Now it says over here, Reb Shimon, and pretty much anywhere in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, when it mentions the Tana Reb Shimon, is a reference to Reb Shimon bar Yochai, which we'll get back to this later. But and Reb Elazar ben Shemua, these were the five people. The Heim Hanidu Torah Osasha. The Gemara says, and these five people reestablished Torah. These five people. In other words, had it not been for this, we wouldn't be here. Because of the fact, we certainly wouldn't be here studying Torah. Because all the Torah leadership died, perished in this terrible situation, the students of Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva, as I say, Rabbi Akiva rallied himself and didn't give up, and at least made five students, and from those five students comes everything that we have today. The continuation, the continuity of Torah Shebaal Peh to this day is attributed to these five people, which is quite remarkable when you consider what would have been if you would have had the 24,000. We probably have much greater knowledge of Torah, but nevertheless, whatever we have today is due to these five people. Continues the Gemara and says, Tana. Now, so far we have not said, so here we have this the historical account of the fact that the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva passed away. It is unclear, it is not well known whether they all perished in one year. There have been different attempts to explain exactly what happened. But nevertheless, the Gemara continues and says the following thing. Tana, Kulam Nesu Mipesach Bad Aseres. They all passed away in the period of time from Pesach until Aseres, which is the Gemara's way of referring to Shavuos. In other words, we have here in the Gemara, this is the only source found in the Talmud, that the students of Yehiva passed away between Pesach and Shavuos. No mention of Lag BaOmer or anything like that. No mention of 33 days from Pesach till Shavuos. Okay, so the Gemara then, the last line, the Gemara says that they all passed away from a plague and so forth. Kulam Meisu Misura, etc. Okay, that's the Gemara. So it's unclear exactly. We know. So what we do know is that this took place during the period of Pesach and Shavuos. However, when exactly it stopped, it doesn't seem from the Gemara that there was any point that it stopped. Now, the interesting thing, just to bear in mind, that really, you know, when we refer today to Sphira, the whole Sphira's Omer experience has been tainted by this episode. Because really, when you think about it, the period of Sphira is supposed to be a period of great simcha. Right? The whole idea of counting down from Pesach to Shavuos is because we go from the spiritual freedom to, from the physical freedom to the spiritual freedom, from the Yetzias Mitzrayim to Shavuos, is supposed to be a time of great anticipation. The fact that we count the day is supposed to be like a person saying, oh, we're inching closer, we're getting closer and closer, another day, we're getting closer to the ultimate, the culmination of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was the Matan Torah that took place on Shavuos. So really, prior to this episode, the time of Sphira would probably be the happiest time of the year that we have. But when we think of it today, he mentions a person's Sphira's Omer, and two thoughts come to mind. Number one is that you have to count, and you have to get your calendar or your app on your BlackBerry to remind you to count Sphira. Right? That's number one. And number two is that we know it's some sort of a period of mourning, we don't take haircuts, many people don't shave, or they don't have weddings. That became synonymous with this period of time, which is really sad, because it wasn't supposed to be this way. It was supposed to be exactly the opposite. It was supposed to be a very happy time. But because of this episode that took place, so everything became tainted, and now we look at Sphira as a negative. So anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, this is the only reference in the Shas. Now, this being the case, so why today do we have Lag BaOmer? So we have here, there are varying accounts of that give further detail, further clarification to what it says in the Gemara. So if you turn to the next page, page 3, the source material is a bit out of order. So if you look, the Meiri tells us in the Gemara Maseches on this Gemara Maseches Yevamos, if you look down towards the end of the quote here, where right where they have the number 272, so it says, a line past that, it says, the Kabbalah B'yad HaGaonim, that the Gaonim, the period of the Gaonim was after the Gemara was written, second half of, not the millennia that just finished, but the one before that, we have a Kabbalah from the Gaonim, Shebiyom Lamed Gimel V'Omer Pascha Hamisa. We have a tradition from the Gaonim that on the 33rd day, it stopped. That on the 33rd day, it stopped. And he says, V'Nogim Yitoch Kach Shalol His Anos Bo. And therefore, we have a custom that on this day, we don't fast, meaning that people who make their own kanesin, which used to be a custom that was more prevalent, that people for various reasons, so when a bad thing happened to them, they would fast, they would make a day of tshuva. So a person, the Shulchan Aruch discusses the various times a person is allowed to make a private fast. One of the days that you're not allowed to would be Lag BaOmer, because of the fact that the Misa of the Talmidim, we have a tradition, even though it's not mentioned in the Gemara, but we have a Kabbalah B'yad HaGaonim. We have a tradition from the later period of rabbis who preceded the Rishonim, that they said that they had a tradition that on this day the Misa stopped, and therefore we don't fast on this day. It doesn't say that therefore on this day we make big celebrations, we light bonfires, we do all kinds of things. It just says we don't fast on this day. Very subtle reference. And then he concludes by saying, and because of this, we don't, with the custom became that we don't have marriages, we don't have weddings take place during this period of time, from Pesach till this time. This is what the Meiri says. This being the case, so it would seem that now it's an interesting thing. The Meiri is telling us that we have a tradition that on the 33rd day it stopped. And what that means, does that mean that they died on the 33rd day also, just that was the last day that they died? Or does it mean that they died up until that? In other words, the 32 days, the 33rd day was completely without any issues. Not clear from the Meiri. We'll discuss this in a minute. But this is what he says. However, if you turn back to the previous page, the Beis Yosef, which written by the author of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, which reflects the Sephardic view in every area. So the Beis Yosef brings, if you skip down the first five lines, he says, Shamati Shiesh Nevish. I heard that he's quoting an earlier source, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yeshua Ibn Shulib, one of the Rishonim, who said that I heard that there is a medrash shemesu mipesach ad pros ha'atzeres, that the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away. Again, it's not clear in the Gemara, so we need to know the details of this are sketchy. What we have in the Gemara, we have in the Gemara. But as far as, but from the Gemara, we would only say that the whole period of time is a time of mourning. Lag BaOmer or anything like that wouldn't be special. So he says, Rabbi Yosef Karo says that there's a medrash that says that they passed away from Pesach until Pros Haaseret. What does it mean, Pros Haaseret? So that is an expression that means, we find in different places, that that expression means till 15 days before Shavuos. Till 15 days before Shavuos. Now, according to that, it would mean, if we do the little quick math, so 49 minus 15 would give us 34. Okay, so he says that Lukashatasir, skip down the line, he says Lukashatasir, Pes Chav Yom, Minem Pes, Nisharu Lamedali. So it comes out, therefore, that there were 34 days of Sarah, 34 days that the tragedies took place, and the last 15 days were clean. So he says, Vehine, Heim Lamed Gimel Shleimim, so it comes out that it was 33 full days. Says the Beis Yosef that based on this, it would come out that if they passed away until the 34th day, he feels that this means that it would include the 34th day. So, therefore, the practice should be that we observe mourning for 33 full days, and on the 34th day, we invoke a halachic principle that we find when it comes to avelos called Miksas Hayom Kekula. Miksas Hayom Kekula means that a part of the day is considered, when it comes to observing mourning, we're lenient and we say that even observing mourning for part of the day is as if you observe mourning for the whole day. And this concept is most commonly found when a person, Chalila, sits Shiva. So we know that a person of novel sitting Shiva really sits, the Shiva means 7 days, but it's really not so, because it really only sits Shiva for 6 days. Right? The seventh day, the Shiva is observed for just a few moments in the morning, right? The night before, and in the morning, and in the morning after just a brief period of time, they get up and that's it. And that counts as the seventh day. How does that count as the seventh day? Only that Shiva for 5 minutes. So the answer is because we have this principle, Miksas Hayom Kekula, that part of, when it comes to mourning, part of the day is enough. Says the Beis Yosef, that being the case, so therefore we have to observe 33 full days, and the 34th day is Miksas Hayom Kekula. Thus, we have a difference of opinion in the tradition between the Medrash that he's quoting and the Kabbalah from the Gaonim that the Meiri quoted. In other words, the Gemara itself doesn't say when the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. It just says that they passed away from Pesach to Shavuos. That's the only thing we know for sure. Beyond that are traditions. So the Ashkenazic tradition reflects what the Meiri said, that the Kabbalah of the Gaonim, and therefore Ashkenazim hold that the 33rd day is special. And even Ashkenazim put into place also this concept of Miksas Hayom Kekula. In other words, and therefore we have that even the Ashkenazim who observe today as a day of Simcha, but it only starts in the daytime. In other words, the correct practice, it's too late to say it now for this year, but the correct practice is not to celebrate last night. People who, let's say, have abstained from listening to music during all this time, last night would not be the time to strike up the band, because we also have to invoke this principle of Miksas Hayom Kekula. Ashkenazim have to have that also. So therefore, we wait until the morning of day 33. That's the Ashkenazic practice. However, the Sephardic practice reflects what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says that they passed away till 15 days before Shavuos, and therefore Sephardim would wait till tomorrow. Okay, that is a basic difference that we have in the Halakha, and just if you turn back to page number 1, we could see this reflected in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Nagin, well, the Sif Aleph here, Nagin Shavuot Lisa Isha Ben Pesach Latzeret. The primary observance initially, certainly among Sephardim, of mourning during this period of time was not to have marriages between Pesach and Shavuos, Ad Lag LaOmer. See, he says it with the Lamed, Ad Lag LaOmer until the 33rd day. And then he continues into, and he says Mishnei Shabbat also Zman Meisus Hamida Rabbi Akiva, because we concern ourselves halakhically with what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says the only reference in the Gemara to the whole concept of Lag BaOmer is, or the whole concept of mourning, is the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. That's what we have. So therefore, because they perished at that time, we don't have marriages. If you go to Sif Beis, he says, Noagim, the Mechaber, again reflecting the Sephardic custom, Noagim, the Minhag, you see, everything is Noagim, Noagim. Minhag, Minhag. Why is it Minhag, Minhag? Because, again, in the Gemara, it doesn't say anything about mourning. In the Gemara, it just says that the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away at that time. The Gemara in Yevamos that we read does not say, therefore we don't have marriages. It doesn't say, therefore we don't take haircuts. It doesn't say that. It just says, this is what happened during this period of time. So how it's observed is not mentioned in the Gemara. Because it's not mentioned in the Gemara, therefore, automatically, it takes on Nohagim. This is a Minhag. What does it mean it's a Minhag? It's that, again, it's not like the Minhag. People have all kinds of Minhagim. This is a widely accepted Minhag, but nevertheless, it has the status of Minhag, right? Because of the fact that it's not explicit in the Gemara, right? It's only a vague reference to what happened. Right, so he says in this day, Noagim Shalol is Saper Ad Lag LaOmer, that we don't take haircuts also till that time. She'omrim She'oz Pasku Milamus, because that's when they say the students stop dying. And then he says, the Eivli is Saper Ad Yom Lag Baboker, says the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore one should not take a haircut or presumably have conduct a wedding until the 34th day. This is the practice of Sfardim. And then if we go down one line, the Ramah tells us in the Medinos Eilu, a Noag in Kitzvara, he says, in our countries, in the Ashkenazic lands, we don't follow that practice. Elam Estafrim, Biyom, Lamed, Gimel, Umagrim, Bot, Ta, Simcha, we add a little Simcha, the Ein, Omrim, Bot, Tachanim. And we don't say Tachanim. Okay, so there you have it. Okay, so basically, the divergent customs, divergent practices between Ashkenazim and Sephardim when it comes to Lag BaOmer has to do, this is where it comes from, it's because in the Gemara itself, it's unclear when exactly things started and when it stopped. The divergent customs are based upon various sources. You have a Medrash, we have a Masorah, but it's unclear, and therefore you have the different practices. Now, it happens to be, I just want to say that it happens to be that the Ashkenazic minhag of observing the mourning during Sfira, the primary Ashkenazic minhag, which is today not very popular, but it used to be, is really that Ashkenazim begin observing the mourning of Sfira from Rosh Chodesh. We don't start from Pesach. Right? The Sfardim observe start from Pesach and end on tomorrow, and that's it. Goodbye. It's over. Right? And therefore, Sfardim would even conduct weddings after tomorrow, starting from tomorrow, and after tomorrow, all the way up until Shavuos. Whereas in Ashkenazic circles, you will not see, almost never see, a wedding take place past Lag BaOmer until Shavuos. So you'll say, why not? Once you hit Lag BaOmer, it's over. So why aren't there weddings taking place now every day till Yom Kippur? If you check with the caterers, they'll tell you there are not weddings being held now. The reason for this is because the Ashkenazic tradition became that we observe 33 days of mourning, but the 33 days do not commence with Pesach. The 33 days begin from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, from the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and therefore the period of mourning stops on Lag BaOmer as a break. It's like a day off. Because we have the tradition that they did not. Now you'll say, well, what does that mean? If we, the Meiri told us that we had, that they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. So if they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, so then why do we have any weddings after that? Well, I mean, why do we continue mourning after that? So if one looks into the sources, you will see that there are yet other traditions of what happened. And it's unclear, there are those who say that they died, from the Gemara it seems that they died all the way up to Shavuos, it says, Mipesach Bar Aseres, right, which sounds like that they did actually die even getting closer to Shavuos. It seems that way from a simple reading of the Gemara. So there is another tradition which says that the students died even past Lag BaOmer, but on Lag BaOmer itself they didn't die. That is the Ashkenazic tradition, and therefore the Ashkenazic minhag, really, as put forth by the Ramah, is that the mourning continues even after Lag BaOmer, but Lag BaOmer is the day of. Today, for many reasons, this practice is not so widely held. It's still a lot of people who hold on to the old minhag, the old Ashkenazic minhag, do this. But today it's become popular. The poskim of our times have said that a person can switch his practice, even though ordinarily you don't change minhagim. But when it comes to this, because it's not so clear, and there are various traditions, and it's all minhag, and it's not etched in stone. So therefore, people change, and for convenience reasons, people generally like what's called the first sphere. You know, so therefore today a lot of people in practice are done today with the Ashkenazim are done today with the morning of Sphira, but not everyone. But this is the fact is that we do pay respect to the Ashkenazic minhag, that even Ashkenazic Jews will not, even after Lag BaOmer, will not conduct weddings until Sphira. And I know the only time in my life I ever attended an Ashkenazic wedding between Lag BaOmer and Shavuos was about 15, 16 years ago. A second cousin of mine, I got an invitation in the mail to a wedding. It was a week after Lag BaOmer. I couldn't understand how did they do that. This is not the truth. They were all Ashkenazim. I was looking for the names, you know, I was reading in between the lines, looking at the grandparents' names, you know, nobody, no trace of any Sephardic lineage. I couldn't understand it. So it turns out that my second cousin was marrying a young man who at that time was the lead guitarist for Nagina Orchestra in New York. And this young man, he got all the jobs, he was a very big name at the time, and he made the following argument. He approached his rav with the following argument. He said, if I wait until after Shavuos to get married, so that's the wedding season. So now it's going to be a halacha, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that a chassan, the week of his marriage, not allowed to go to work. Right, he has this simple chassan makali, he's supposed to stay in the sima kamishta. He's supposed to stay with his wife, he can't go to work. He says, if I don't go to work that week, you know how many jobs I'm going to lose? He said, that's prime wedding season. These are all the June weddings. And he said, Sunday I'll have two jobs, and Monday, Tuesday, he said, I'm going to lose thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. It's a hefsid maruga, and based on this claim, one of the leading rabbanim in New York gave him a heter, and they had a wedding which took place a week after Lag BaOmer. But to my knowledge, in my own experience, the only time I ever saw an Ashkenazic wedding take place after Lag BaOmer. So it's just important to know that even though by many people today is the end, and you say, well, that's it, we got to Lag BaOmer, I'm going to take a haircut, I'll shave, listen to music, and so forth. On Lag BaOmer itself, we have the tradition that we are Sameach. But past that point, because of the fact that the Ramah established that the primary Ashkenazic minhag is to observe the Aveilus till all the way down till the 3 days before Shavuos, so therefore, in deference to that, out of respect to the Ramah, it is widely held that the tradition, I think, it's still kept that way, that Sfardim will make weddings past this point, but Ashkenaz will not. Okay. This is the Lag BaOmer that's in the Halacha. Okay, and that's it. Now, you may have noticed that there is no mention here in the Shulchan Aruch of bonfires, there's no mention of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, there's no mention of Meron, there's no mention of Upsharon, there's no bows and arrows, potato sack races, no reference, right, everyone can recall back to the good old days, right, there's no reference to any of these things that we find in the poster. So where does this come from? Last night, from what I was told, and as I heard first-hand accounts, they had over 500,000 people who made the trip, the pilgrimage, even though it was Monte Shabbos, made the pilgrimage to Meron. And there's from all the corners of Eretz Yisrael, people go to Meron, and they light the big fires there, and they dance by the grave of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Where does this come from, and is this something that, is there a basis for this? Is there any opposition to this? So the basis for this is as follows. The basis for this is based on a statement which is found in Zohar. I could not track it down, but I saw it quoted, so I'm sorry it's not on the sheet. that it says the Zohar is widely attributed to Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Now Rav Shimon bar Yochai, let's just bear in mind, Rav Shimon bar Yochai was one of the five students of Rabbi Akiva. When the Gemara, this we know, that when the Gemara says that there were five students through which Rabbi Akiva rebuilt Torah in Klal Yisrael, one of them was Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Because whenever it says Rav Shimon in the Mishnah, or even when the Gemara refers to the Tana Rav Shimon, we are told by the Rishonim that that's a reference to Rav Shimon bar Yochai. See, he was one of the big five. It says in this, now he is attributed, he is credited with the authorship of the Zohar. So it says, apparently in the Zohar, now it's hard to know that he wrote the Zohar himself because the following statement is found in the Zohar, that the day that Rav Shimon bar Yochai passed away, he taught the secrets of Kabbalah to other people. He made it known, he popularized it, he let it out. He let out the word, he put out the word to Klal Yisrael, and because of that, the day of Lag BaOmer, and it says further there, it seems that he passed away on Lag BaOmer. It's a tradition that he passed away on this day. And it says that on this day, great light came to Klal Yisrael. Great light came to Klal Yisrael because of the fact that these mysterious, the Nistar, the heart, the hidden part of the Torah, which we don't know so much about today, but the Nistaros became revealed, or became, you know, more popularly known. In some places it's referred to as in one reference it is referred to that this was the equivalent on the Kabbalistic level of the day the Torah was given. That the same way on Shavuos, when the Torah was given, so it was a great revelation came to the world, so on the day that Rav Shimon bar Yochai passed away, also a great revelation came to the world. This is what it says, and this took place on Lag BaOmer. This is found in the Zohar, and it's not found in the Gemara. It's not found, it's not referenced in the Shulchan Aruch, as we just saw, when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the idea of observing some sort of special day in Lag BaOmer. The Shulchan Aruch, all it says is we don't take tachanun. All of it is very subtle. We don't take tachanun. We stop mourning. We take allow haircuts. We would allow a wedding, but no reference of this. The reason for this is because this is found in the Kabbalah, it's not found in the Nigla, it's not found in the revealed part of the Torah, and therefore it's more subject to Minna. Now you'll say, okay, so very nice, so now we have a second observance of Lag BaOmer. Perhaps this would be more relegated to people who are more steeped in Kabbalistic traditions, but nevertheless, beautiful thing. However, this aspect of Lag BaOmer generated a significant amount of controversy amongst the traditional poskim, even those who themselves were familiar with the Kabbalah. And if you turn to page 4, we have here from the Chassam Sofer, the Mishael Teshuvah Chassam Sofer in Meridea, where the Chassam Sofer speaks about the practice that he was already familiar with. We find that we can trace the pilgrimage to Meron that takes place every year. We have sources that we can put it back at least as far as in the 15th century, because we have from Rabbi Ovadia Mibar Tzinura, one of the famous one of the Rishonim who wrote a famous commentary on the Mishnah, that he at a certain point in his life moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he reported back that when he was in Eretz Yisrael he saw big celebrations in Meron on Lag BaOmer, and it sounds, this was in the 1400s, and it sounds that it was already a well established practice. So this is 500 years, 600 years, whatever, going back. So apparently it's a time honored concept. Says the Chassam Sofer, he says, but I have a problem with this. The Chassam Sofer says, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but the Chassam Sofer says, if you go down four lines, he says, the reason is because this is the day of the celebration of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Says the Chassam Sofer, if this is the reason for all the hoopla, he says, Hayisi ani min aprushim. He says, I'm happy I don't live in Eretz Yisrael, because if I lived in Eretz Yisrael, I would not be able to join in the celebration. I would be a separationist. I would not get involved in this celebration. Why not? as this the typical halacha killjoy, right? That we're against partying. You know, why should you party? You know, sit down and have a scowl on your face and sit with a Gemara. You know, what are you gonna go have a good time? Why do that? No. So he says further. So he says the reason to this is he quotes a halachic source from one of the great Sfarad Poskim Pre-Chadash that he says that we know there is an established concept that we have that a person is allowed to make their own yontif. In other words, the Yomim Tovim that we observe. So we have the Yomim Tovim we have are most of which are found in the basis is found in the Chumash, right? The Sholosh Regolim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, right? And then we have observances that are Midrabanan, you have Chanukah and Purim, right? You have the Tanesim. So we have days that we observe on a national level. Now, in addition to this, we find that one is allowed to add his own yontif. If a person had a personal miracle that happened to them on a certain given day, so there is a concept that you can make. There are different ways to commemorate this. People sometimes will make a Sudas Hodah, they'll make a special feast where they give thanks to Hashem for saving them. But sometimes people go beyond that, that they establish that this day for the rest of their lives is going to be a yontif. For them, it's going to be a yontif, and not that they're going to, you know, they're allowed to do work and so forth, but they observe that day as a special day. This is a concept that we have. Says the Chassam Sofer that this is done on a day when a person had a miracle happen to them. So in other words, the only Yom Tovim that we have are the days that are mentioned in the Torah, the days that the rabbis established, and a day that a person had a personal name take place. Says the Chassam Sofer, however, what is this? The celebration of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Where does it say this? It's not found in the Mishnah. It's not found in the Chumash. It's not found in the Gemara. It's not found in any of the literature from the period of the Talmud. It's not a nes that happened to anyone in particular. What's the nes? This is the day that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai gave the, you know, the secrets of the Torah. Okay. So how do you make that into a yontif? This is made, it says the Chassam Sofer, according from the Pri Chadash, that we can't just add Yomim Tovim. You can't, the same way, it's similar to the concept that we have that a person's not supposed to add on. Not supposed to add on. On a level of national observance, so there has to be a basis. It was established. Who established this? He said it became a custom somewhere along the line. People started doing it. Nobody knows exactly when it started. And how do you justify this? So the Chassam Sofer says that he says, listen, I know that he writes at the beginning that I know that the people who go to Meiron are holy Jews, and I know that they're very sincere, and it's Kavonis Olashem Shemayim. But nevertheless, says the Chassam Sofer, if I would be there, I would stay away. That's what he said. Okay, so that's strike one. Furthering the approach of the Chassam Sofer in Eastern Europe, that had so many tzaras, everybody was, nobody could find a way to somehow put a smile on Lag BaOmer. So the next generation, one of the Gedolei Achronim, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Nathanson, who wrote the famous tshuvas called Tshuvas Shaul Meshiv, which we have 5 volumes. So he has another problem with the observance of Lag BaOmer in Meiron. And he says the following. He says here, just an excerpt that here, we'll skip a couple of lines. He says that we find an amazing thing. It's brought down. There's a remarkable story in connection with Lag BaOmer that's brought down in Kabbalistic sources, but it also found its way into the Magen Avraham commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And that is that there was in the previous generations, so there were Jews who truly mourned over the Churban Beis HaMikdash to the extent that there were some people who said, we have a special tefillah that we say on Tisha B'Av that's called Nachem. By Mincha on Tisha B'Av, it's once a year that we add into the Shemona Esrei a paragraph where we plead to Hashem, comfort us over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Nachem Hashem Elokeinu with Adel Tzion with Adel Yisholayim. So it seems that there was a Rav going back several hundred years, about 500 years ago, who used to say Nachem every day. Not just on Tisha B'Av. He said Nachem every day in Shemoneh Esrei. And because he really sensed the loss and the void left by the Churbeis HaMikdash. And it says that not only did he say it every day, but he said it even on, except for the holidays, every other day he said it. And he said it on Lag BaOmer. And it's brought down that they have a tradition that he was punished. I think this goes from the Ari. The Arizal said that this person suffered a certain tragedy. And the Arizal said that the reason why is because he said nothing on Lag BaOmer. And he had no business to say that because Lag BaOmer is a happy day. And why is he saying the Nachem prayer on Lag BaOmer? This is quoted in the Magen Avraham. A fascinating thing. So comes the Shaul Meshech, and he says, why should that be? Why? Because he said the Nachem tefillah on Lag BaOmer. What kind of great sin is this? So he says, V'ulai shem hu yantiv shel kol Yisrael shekulam smechem v'hilulah v'rav shem v'yachoy. That it can't be because the Talmidim Rebbe Akiva stopped dying. That can't be because that's not a reason for celebration, right? That's what we saw. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say to go, you know, make parties on Lag BaOmer. The Shulchan Aruch says that whatever we observe during the morning of Tzfirah stops on Lag BaOmer. So you can make a wedding any day. So but you don't make weddings during Tzfirah. So on Lag BaOmer you can make a wedding, but it's not a reason to go and make an extra party. In other words, you would have made a wedding, so you can make the wedding on this day. That's not called going out of your way to make a celebration. But to go start making parties in honor of the passing of Shem Be'Avchai, so that already we didn't find in the halacha. But says the Shaul Meshev that it seems that must be the reason. That's the reason why we have a tradition that this person was punished for saying nothing on Lag BaOmer was because of the fact that he did not, that it's a special happy day. He ruled Rav Shem Be'Yachai the day that Rav Shem Be'Yachai passed away. Says the Shaul Meshev, he says, Abba Be'emes. He says, but in truth, Gamzev Tamati, I don't get it. He says, that doesn't make any sense to me. Shahare Adarabba. He says, just the opposite. The most tzaddik v'chacham, yesh l'zanos. He said, what are you making a party? Because Rav Shem Be'Yachai passed away? It's Rav Shem Be'Yachai's yard site, so when you have the yard site, that's how we observe a yard site, you start making wild parties? He says, V'anu mis'anin al misas tzaddikim. Right? He says that, they skip a line, he says, the most mivchar ha'yitzur Moshe Rabbeinu. Anu osim zayin adar v'chol shana. He says, how do we observe the Misa of Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? The death of Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who directly gave over the Shliach Hashem to transmit the Torah to the Klal Yisrael. So on the day that he passed away, what do? So people fast. Right? We have the Minhagim today, even the Chevrat Hadishas is very common. We have it here in town, a lot of places that they observe the kindness on Zayin Adar. So says the Shaul Meshev, he said, listen, where I come from, they don't observe yard sites this way. Right? He says, everyone's running to Meron and making all kinds of parties and all kinds of hoopla and all kinds of dancing. He says, that's not the way I was taught to observe a yard site of a tzaddik. A yard site of a tzaddik, a person is supposed to observe by fasting or by adding extra learning or by a more of a solemn type of observance. So, l'chaim is chassid. A lot of the minhag that preceded that, which many people still have, is many people fast on a personal yard side of a parent or a close family member. Many people fast. So says the Shaul Meshev, what in the world? This is why this is going on in Meron, because the day that Rav Shem Be'Yachai passed away. What does that mean? So here we have two of the Gedolei HaPoskim a century and a half ago, who had big issues with this practice, right? And he doesn't hear cite the bows and arrows of the potato sack races, but he's talking about Meron, and he's saying that these practices, he doesn't understand where they come from. So, basically, in the time that we have left, I would just like to put forth there are two answers to this question. There are actually more than two. But the first one is, which is not here on the sheet, but the first one, which I think is the simplest answer, is that the celebration is not over the fact that Shimon passed away. The celebration is over the fact that either on the day, the simplest thing would be to say that on the day that Rav Shimon ben Yochai passed away, there was a big Kabbalah HaTorah. There was a big revelation of Torah, because he released, he shared with the masses secrets of the Torah that were previously known only to Yechidim, and he put it out. So therefore, it's brought in one of the Achronim, which I couldn't get on the sheet, that therefore it's equivalent to Shavuos in a certain sense, because it's a great, great celebration of revelation of Torah. That's one approach that people take. Now that would not help for the Chassam Sofer's argument that, you know, what, how do you make a holiday, it's not mentioned anywhere, but at least for the Shaul Meshach's claim that why do you celebrate it, what should be a sad day or a solemn day with celebration, so that would take care of it. A second answer, actually similar vein, is that people say that, as we mentioned at the beginning, Rav Shimon ben Yochai was one of the five students of Rabbi Akiva who perpetuated the Torah. So therefore, the celebration of the Rav Shimon ben Yochai is not so much that it's the day that he passed away, but there's a tradition, another tradition, which also is not firmly rooted. We can't conclusively prove it. But there is a tradition that Rabbi Akiva gave the smicha to these five students on Mount Palmer. And therefore, the celebration of Shimon ben Yochai is because of the fact that the continuity of Torah that we have till today, hey, he was one of the five. He was one of the five people. So therefore, on that basis, that's where, that is not because he passed away on that day. That's not the issue. The issue is rather because of the fact that he represents the continuity of Torah, and that's what we're happy about. Now, of course, you'll ask, probably thinking this, that you'll say, well, so then why don't they go to Tveria, to the grave of Rav Meir, and make the same celebration? We know where Rav Meir, the others, I don't know where they're buried. But Rav Meir, the Meir Balanes, we know where he's buried, right? So therefore, why don't they go make the same hoopla today in Tveria? Why do we just go to Meiron? So that wouldn't be explained according to this. Okay, but this is another idea which is put forth. But, again, this does not answer the question of the Chassam Sofer. This would just deal with the Shaul Meshach's claim, which is that where do you have such a thing that that you celebrate the Yahrzeit this way? So there is a very beautiful answer which I'll end with here, which I am indebted to Rabbi Yisachar Frantz for the source here. It's found in the Sefer Seichemet, which was written about a little over 100 years ago, an encyclopedia of Talmudic sources by a Sephardic Jew, and he writes a very, very fascinating thing, which I think is really a very beautiful idea to go away with. And he quotes here, this is on page 5, from the Sefer Shaila Teshuvah Shem Aryeh, who says the following, who says that he said, I'll answer all the questions. The Shem Aryeh says that I'll take care of the Chassam Sofer. He saw the Chassam Sofer's question. He saw the Shaul Meshach's question. He said, I'll answer all the questions. He said, because the reason why Rav Shimon ben Yochai's death is a cause for celebration, he says an amazing thing. He says, because we know from the Gemara, it's on the sheet, but I'm not going to read it now to save time, that Rav Shimon ben Yochai was a person on whom there was a decree of death placed by the Roman government. Now we have the well-known Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that the Gemara says that Rav Shimon ben Yochai was openly critical of the Roman authorities. Rav Shimon ben Yochai lived after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, when Eretz Yisrael was completely under control of the Romans, and he was highly critical to the point, the Gemara tells us, that there were Tanoim who were praising the beautiful architecture that the Romans had built in Eretz Yisrael, and saying, look what they're doing, as bad as the fact that they destroyed Eretz Yisrael, but on the other hand, they do have quality work, they built beautiful bridges, and they have these beautiful buildings. So Rav Shimon ben Yochai was openly critical of them, and he said, no, it's not true, everything they do is for their own indulgence, and they're not trying to help anybody, it's all to promote their own indulgences. And this is what he said, and because of this, the word got back, and he had to run. And we know that the famous story that he had to sit in a cave, him together with his son, that he had to sit in a cave, the Gemara tells us, for a period of 12 years, and at the end he miraculously was sustained by the fact that there was a stream of water and a carob tree that gave him food. And he had to wait there until after the Caesar died. Apparently the decree would go off after the Caesar, after the Roman Caesar would die, then all the decrees, all the, there was sort of like a amnesty that was granted after that point, and he had to wait till that time. But for 12 years, he was running for his life. Says the Shem Aryeh, an amazing thing. He says that, it's about 7-8 lines down. So he says, the reason why we celebrate this is because when we celebrate the death of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that's a nes. The fact that Rav Shimon bar Yochai died of natural causes. Rav Shimon bar Yochai is buried in a grave. Right? Now the fact is, the Gemara tells us in several places that in the time of the Romans, Haruge Malchus lo nitnu l'kfura, that the people who the Romans killed, if there was an official state decree that this person should be executed, part of the punishment was that he can't be buried. He cannot be buried. And the Medrash says that Eliyahu HaNavi had to come and bury Rabbi Akiva because of the fact that it was against the law, it was banned. The person who was Haruge Malchus, he cannot be buried. So says the Shem Aryeh that, look at Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Rav Shimon bar Yochai was a man who by all accounts should have been killed. By all accounts there should be no grave. By all accounts we should have nothing from him. He should have no legacy because he should have been killed by the Romans and that would have been the last we heard from him. But yet, he passed away. He lived to a ripe old age. We don't know exactly, but he died of natural causes. So he escaped. He escaped what should have happened to him. And not only that, but we have today a place that we could go, a grave, a kever of Shimon bar Yochai. That's also a nes. That's a nes. There shouldn't have been a kever of Shimon bar Yochai, because he would have been, who knows what they would have done with his body. It would have been tossed away. That would have been the end. We would have nothing. Says the Shem Aryeh, so therefore that in itself is a cause for celebration. That's a nes. And he says that answers the Chassam Sofer's question. Because the Chassam Sofer's question was, where do we find such a thing that Jews make a holiday? It has to be either something that's mentioned in the Chazal, or in the Chumash, or in the Chazal, or at the very least, a miracle that we experience. Says the Shem Aryeh, this is a miracle that we experience. Look at the way Hashem takes care of His people. That here you have a person, a tzaddik like Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who by all accounts, the odds makers would have said, right, nobody was selling him life insurance, right? After the word got back, right? That's it, he's done. He's done. It's just a matter of time. They'll hunt him down, right? And now we can appreciate that court's been won, right? So now we see what it means that even years later, right? 10 years later, they're still relentlessly looking for him, right? So putting it back into our situation, with Rav Shimon bar Yochai, he was finished. He was history. And we would have nothing. But the fact that we have today the Torah, the Gemara says, Hamidu Torah Bosa Shah. The fact that we have Torah today from the 5 students of Rabbi Akiva, so really all 5 of them, but from the 5, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is the miracle man. Because we shouldn't have from him. From the other 4 we should have. But not from him. The fact that we have from him is a great testimony to the fact that Hashem took care of him because of his immense tzidkus, because of his great righteousness. Hashem took care of him, and Hashem made it that he beat the odds, that he escaped from everything, from all the, probably was not easy. I'm sure that if the Romans, you know, their pride was on the line when they pronounced such a decree, they were looking all over for him. And the fact that they couldn't get him, and they never got him, and they never got him, and he died a natural death, and we have today a legacy from him, that is the greatest nes. So he says the Shem Aryeh, this answers the Chassam Sofer's question, this answers the Shaul Meshach's question, the fact that we're not making a party on the yard site, that's not the party. The party is that we have a yard site from him. The party is that look what happened. Now, sometimes, even in a sad event, you have to see the good. Look at this. Today you have, let's say, for example, a Holocaust survivor, so we still have, right, the person lives to a ripe old age and then eventually passes away. So it's sad that we lost that person, but on the other hand, look, but Baruch Hashem, the person survived, the person was able to live a big life after all the horrors that took place. Says the Shem Aryeh that this is something that we have to see. We have to look in. Klal Yisrael always is, we have to look at life on a deeper level. You have to see more than just what meets the eye. You're not just looking at a person's passing. You're looking at what that passing symbolizes. What does this represent? What message does this send to us? says the Shemaiah, this is a yontif, and if this is what we commemorate, then this is something that everyone in Klal Yisrael could say, this is a nes that applies to me, I am a beneficiary of this nes, and therefore we can celebrate the rule of the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So here you have it. This is Lag BaOmer. This is the day that we have today. Again, you have the various ways of observance amongst Ashkenazim. So to speak, the Kalpa Litvaks. You know that expression, right? The cold-blooded Lithuanian Jews have already observed Lag BaOmer by not saying Tachanun. And that's it. You know, maybe okay, and that'll be it. Try not to smile more than necessary, right? And that's Lag BaOmer. By the Sfarim, so it's a problem not, because the Sfarim are still holding the mourning on Lag BaOmer. However, those who are more exposed to the Kabbalah part of Klal Yisrael, which today by us are Hasidim and others, a variety of a host of others, and all the curious observers in Eretz Yisrael who go to Meiron just to be part of it and see what it's all about, right? So to defend this practice that took place last night, where by all accounts, even by most Ashkenazic authorities, they shouldn't have been dancing last night, because the Hetzer of Lag BaOmer really is only in the daytime according to most Ashkenazim and all Sephardim. Nevertheless, the fact is that this great hupla, which had 500,000 people, is because of the great nes of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and all that he represents, and the fact that Lag BaOmer is a day where we can commemorate, if we want to, we can commemorate the perpetuity, the continuity of Torah, the fact that we have Torah today, the fact that Rabbi Akiva did not give up after all the tzaras that went on in his lifetime, that he wasn't embittered and he strengthened himself, that despite all his life's work going down the drain, so to speak, when all his Talmidim died out, he still said that I can't give up, I'm going to still go ahead, I can still do something, and at least five people he influenced, and those five people had Nidu Torah Baruch Hashem. And the fact that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai beat the odds, that Hashem looked after him, and he escaped from all the persecution, and was able to die, live a productive life, and die a natural death, all of these things perhaps give us an extra means of being happy and celebrating on Lag BaOmer.